Pokemon Hard Style, go! And welcome to a very special mixed live version of the A4 Play Podcast. That's right. We're doing this live, or as close as we can. This is Pokemon theme song, Hard Style Remix, playing off my cell phone. Watch this. I'm even going to fade it away.
Wow.
As we get into the podcast. Wow. That's right, folks.
High tech.
We are doing it as best we can while we... The search continues. The reality TV show we're filming, Finding Our Podcast Editor, continues. We'll talk more about that later in the podcast. But for now, welcome.
Thank you.
We're back.
We're back.
To this, the next episode of the A4 Play Podcast, still your only bestest, greatest place on planet Earth and surrounding for talk about Japan and games and Japanese games. I am your host, Mark Games McDonald. With me, still healthy, still strapping, still fully bearded, that is Dermot Kadoka Boom Cregan.
That's me. What? That's me.
How you doing? Thanks for coming in.
I'm doing well, yeah, thank you. This is probably the safest place in the world right now.
It's true.
It might be.
The A4 bunker?
That's right. That's right.
Deep, as long as Mark is not infecting us.
Many floors down in the A4 bunker.
I do have the slightest worry about that.
It's just asthma. Listen, ASMR folks, listen to this. You can hear it. That's asthma.
To be fair, he does always sound like this.
It's asthma. I ride up my bike up a big hill. I don't use my breather like that kid in the Goonies. Dermot, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Are you?
All right. I mean...
Are you really?
A little bit. I got a little bit of cabin fever, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a safe space, Dermot. You can tell us. Like,
yeah.
This is. When's the last time you interacted with other people?
I saw Roy on the way here to pick up the laptop.
Oh, okay.
So that was fun. His beard is also getting long.
Born off of Roy. Roy wanted to be here. He's got a lot of stuff going on, as we all do. So, say hey to Roy. He could use it. Say hi on Twitter. We're thinking of him.
Yes.
Him and his. Roy handed off the laptop. Did you maintain 6 feet? Did you scrub it down?
Did he like toss it to you?
I did. No, he didn't. Distance. So I only realized that when I opened it up, I was like, shit, this has probably got like all of Roy's germs on it and his cats because, you know, they work closely.
They do.
That's right.
So I just can't touch anything.
They're
or
supportive.
Myself, really.
But other than that, was it last podcast that you actually?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so 2 weeks.
Yes.
Which is wild.
But you're probably going out every day to get food and things of that nature, right?
So I go out every day to, at least to bike around or like walk around. I stopped going to restaurants.
To bike around?
Or yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding. We got there. Hey! Yeah, I bought a bike.
Yeah.
At the weekend.
Nice.
Because... Well, one, I used to have a bike in Seattle. It was like my main mode of transportation, and I didn't realize how much I missed it. But Mark, you made the comment last week that I should get one.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right. So I went to a recycle shop in Yoyogi. Got a pretty nice bike, actually.
Wait, we should... Shit, we're not editing this podcast. I was going to say we should edit that out, because I want to go there before the giant throngs of A4 Play listeners descend upon it like locusts.
You're right.
And there's no good bikes left.
You know, I'm sure there's more than one recycle shop in Yoyogi, so we probably
safe. I don't
say
think so. Well, okay, yeah. Did you say Yoyogi? I think you meant BFE Saitama. That's right.
Yeah, no, you're right, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. that's your nickname.
Yes.
You got a Coda Bloom.
Yep.
See what
nice,
I did
nice
there?
Blue, yeah.
See what I did?
I did, yeah.
It's nice. A nice bike.
It is, like a 2018 model.
And you got it for like three months? Like
yep. Yeah.
Not even $300.
Yeah. It I really lucked out.
New, and yeah, I'm really impressed.
Rides great. Yeah.
It's a good.
Nine
it's
speeds.
Good timing, too. I mean, I think actually today is officially the first day of spring, right? It's mm-hmm. time to get back on the horse.
And also not no more trains.
That's the main
fuck
thing,
with
yeah.
The trains
no more trains.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you're in super lockdown. We should just say. Up front here, like we all are to varying degrees. Japan, maybe like a little bit of a different story, but we can get into that. But you know, we should say up front, like of course, you know, there's big things going on in the world. It's a fucking weird time, and there's lots of shit to worry about. And obviously, there's more important things going on. But at the same time, it's hopefully. I know I found solace in some of the other regular things that are still going on, podcasts and you know, quick looks and some of the gaming news and things like that. Like
for sure,
it can be rough. You know, you want to stay informed, but it can be rough and hard to just disconnect from it. So hopefully that's what we're doing. So like we're not making light anywhere of the situation. And yeah, hopefully all of you are listening to this, taking it seriously, without turning this into an after school special, washing your fucking hands,
staying off the trains,
not going to Hanami this weekend, Graham, since you're not listening to this podcast. Let's get into that before we do. I want to introduce you, John. That's John.
Hi.
Animal Fleecing Ricciardi. That's supposed to sound like Animal Crossing.
I got that part.
Kind of.
Who am I fleecing?
You got fleeced by Animal Crossing.
Oh, you mean the cost that it took? Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Well, it
you
cost
managed to
a
get a
lot.
Hold of
I didn't.
A very prized item.
I did. I got the Animal Crossing Switch system that everybody is wanting, and I've been trying to help other people get it too, as Dermot can attest to. I put my name in like 6 lotteries in Japan, but so far I've struck out on all of them.
It's that? Did they say how many they're making in any territory?
No, they didn't. But so it was already probably going to be limited, and then the virus stuff happened, and actually they even, as soon as it did, they were like, you know, where it's being manufactured in China is now being affected, and so they're it's slowing down. And
which only makes people all the sweeter. Makes the plum all
Here's the thing.
Later.
It's not a limited edition. So like they're going to keep making them. Yeah, it's not like they're going to they're gone or anything. Like if you can wait. The thing is, because
it's just the pack-in, it's just the system that comes with the pack-in. It's not a limited edition.
In America it comes in a pack-in.
In Japan it comes in a pack-in.
In America it does not. That's why I have it already. Otherwise I wouldn't, because the game's not out yet. Well, as we record this.
It's a standard Switch, or is there also a light that is an Animal
No,
Crossing?
There's
not
no
light,
Animal Crossing light. It's just light. The standard standard new Switch, so the one with the better battery and everything.
Right.
The Coral Switch Lite is coming out same day as Animal Crossing here.
Are they, sorry I'm all over the place, but is the Japanese one the same as the US one?
Yeah. So the thing is, though, is that in Japan, eventually you're going to be able to get it, but the problem is that because you can't easily transfer your, if you start playing Animal Crossing and then you get the system a month later, it's not easy to move your, at the moment,
That's
it's
right.
not possible to move your game. It
That's
will be
right.
within this year, is what they said, which is an awful big window. But
That's why you were in such a fucking hurry.
I wanted to have it beforehand, And so
it's all making more sense now.
So, you know, I always do this. This isn't new, but I went to my different sources for getting things, and I found a friend in America who was willing to get one for me.
Your sources.
I won't say who. He didn't. I asked him, and it sounded like he probably would rather I didn't say who it was. So
okay.
I'm not going to say who helped me, but thank you. You're awesome. He got one for me, but we had no idea how much it was going to cost to ship here. I figured it was going to be like $50. He goes to the, where did he go? Like UPS or whatever, and checks, and it's like $170 to ship it to Japan.
Yeah.
So then we went to a couple other places.
How fast? In a week?
In about a week, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I could have got it 2 weeks, but would only been like $20 cheaper. But it got a little cheaper. We got it down to like, it's still over $100. Let's just put it that way.
I'm having flashbacks to like going to the UPS outlet store to pick up Yoshi's Story and having like my Saturn shipped from Japan.
Yeah. It felt like
that was, and how expensive it was. And
but the thing is, so shipping in Japan to overseas, if I were to ship a Switch overseas, it would be less than half that. U.S. Postal Service is a total ripoff.
Well, okay, but one thing.
Or U.S. shipping, I should say, because it wasn't actually USPS, but
Japan would not. First of all, won't let you, right? Because there's a battery.
No, you can. The rules are weird, but like if it's the battery is like actually in the system, like screwed in or whatever like that.
Yeah.
There, I don't know the exact rules, so don't quote me, but there are rules that essentially make it okay to ship, but there are ways where you could get in trouble and then you can't. But this was fine. They shipped it anyway. But the thing is, by the time he bought the system already, then, you know, it was only then that we found out what it was going to cost. So it's not like I could be like, oh, give it back. He went through all this trouble to get it for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's super wanted thing. So I just decided to bite the bullet and pay for it.
Did he look at shipping it via like U.S. Postal Service, like Priority Mail?
We checked every. I had another friend who's like ship stuff all the time. Like I was like, what are these things cost? And it was generally around the same price everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. So in the end, we actually went with FedEx because FedEx got it here pretty quick.
You got it?
I got it. Yeah, I got it the other day. I got it like a day early, actually, from what they said it was going to be.
Wow.
Yeah, man. But I mean, of course, I did not want to spend that much on it, but you know.
How much? So you said how much it cost?
I forgot what the system itself cost. It was like, it's cheaper there because it doesn't come with the game. It's more in Japan. I actually don't remember offhand what the price is, but
and the shipping ended up being
like $130 or something stupid. Yeah,
right.
But it's really nice. I'm gonna go home tonight, actually, after we record this, and do my official like transfer to get my stuff onto the new system.
Oh yeah,
in the process of reading about that, actually, so I said it has the better battery, but actually the battery is exactly the same. What's mm-hmm. changed is the graphics chip has become way more efficient, and therefore it uses less battery, and so that's why battery life is longer. So I thought that was interesting.
Right, but, that is interesting.
I envy that battery life a lot.
Isn't there like a mode or a toggle you can do on the Switch that is like...
No, not as a, maybe as a developer or something, but not as a consumer.
Really?
Yeah.
I could have sworn that was in like a newer firmware or something.
Not to my knowledge, though.
Okay.
But, yeah, so I...
So you guys pumped? You excited?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get one yet, but... Oh, for Animal Crossing in general.
For Animal Crossing
Oh, yeah,
in
absolutely.
I haven't seen the reviews. Were they as expected, like 10?
Yeah, 9s and 10s. Yeah.
Okay.
They're really good. They're not... A lot of places seem to be saying it's not that, what, New Leaf is still the king.
Oh, yeah.
I think it varies, but you know. I think people say it starts slow, but what did you expect me to build everything from scratch, mm-hmm. you know? Like...
But yeah, it's a super, super positive.
Yeah.
The Metacritic is really high. Not like freaking insane like Breath of the Wild level, but very, very, very positive.
Mm-hmm.
Going in, I have the... I think I said this a few weeks ago, but I have this sort of feeling like I'm going to be not as ultimately satisfied with it as I was with New Leaf, purely because New Leaf is really portable, whereas I'm not going to carry my Switch around. I don't carry my Switch around. And because you can't move it around easily, I can't have it on my Switch Lite as well. So it's like, because of that, just by default, I think it maybe won't be as impactful to me. But I'm still really excited to play it. It looks awesome. And Animal Crossing's always fun, no matter what, for the first like month at least, you know?
Right. So, Dermot, you have a choice to make at some point, right? Which is, are you going to wait for the system?
I don't really have a choice.
You're just going
to
buy it.
I'm just going to have to buy it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean... the choice really is like, do I put it on my main Switch or the Lite? And that's not even really a choice either, because I want to play it on the TV.
Oh, really? So you're going to have it on your TV then?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess like, you know, some hardcore people may go as far as to like buy two copies or something and put like one on each or something. But to me, like the portable aspect of New Leaf is what really made it so satisfying, because I could just pop it open, you know, at lunch or whatever. Like I had these little opportunities all the time to play, whereas on TV, I'm not necessarily going to have that, you know?
Right. Yeah, it seemed like that was the magic of that. Like, finally, Animal Crossing hit that form factor where it's like, it's such a game that seems to lend itself to that. Just like popping in
every
once in a while and, you know, seeing what's going on and then popping back out. But Dermot, you're a TV player. TV player.
Well, not historically. I didn't actually play City Folk. I played it on GameCube, but I didn't play the Wii one.
Same.
And
interesting.
I definitely enjoyed the format more on 3DS in New Leaf. But I think this is such like a flagship Switch game. I want to see it on the big screen and also play it portably. So I think I feel like I'd be missing out if I just had it on my Lite.
That's true.
And it would be stuck there forever.
I get it.
You know,
it's not like you don't have the... I mean, you can take it with you. It's just not super ideal. But I mean, at least you can do that if you play it on the big. That's true.
We should explain though why that amazing music, our amazing opening music that I found on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I mean, at some point,
before we started the show.
Did you see the video that was playing?
Yes, I did. A lot of booty shaking. That's why I chose it. I was like, whatever this is, before I even heard it, it says hardcore remix or whatever.
Yep. Hardcore, all right.
What, you want to talk about your new calling?
Yeah, so...
To be the very best?
Yes.
Like no one ever was?
Like no one ever was, until me. Shit, I just touched my face. God damn it.
Ah, you're fine. We're clean here. We're all clean here.
It's okay. Now you can just go at it.
Not just palm it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, as listeners will know, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon. Me and Roy both. I completed my Pokedex a few weeks ago.
Nice.
But I still have the Pokemon itch. Like, I still want to be playing it. And then I remembered that I'm a very competitive person.
Mm.
So, I thought, what is the barrier to entry to getting into competitive Pokemon?
Yeah, you saw that, like, six-year-old win that thing, right? And you're like, what the I can take her down.
Yeah. So... I mean, that wasn't quite what happened, but I do remember reading about that. Basically, it's become a lot easier in this game to get competitive level Pokemon. Because
Sword and Shield.
Sword and Shield, yeah. Because it takes a lot of work up front to even like compile a team. So I did a really deep dive over like a week trying to figure out like what the common strategies are, what the meta is like, what I need to take into account.
Where are you going? Where does one go to discover these kinds of things? Like what dark... scary ass corners
probably
of
like
the internet.
Cerebi.net or something.
Cerebi's huge, yeah. Smogon is big. Reddit, there's a Reddit VGC, which is like the video game championships.
Is it not? It must be like a crazy mix of like 10 and 12 year olds and like 30 year olds and 40 and 50 year olds that are like super fucking, it just must be all over the place.
I've seen all walks, all types. There's one like really prominent YouTuber, Wolfie VGC, I think. He like won the world championships a couple years ago, and he just like gives tutorials and like
makes a
ton of videos. So
are his videos good?
Yeah, they're really, really good.
Yeah, who are you recommended? Like, let's say that I get the bug and I want to be the very best. Like, where would you, of those outlets or otherwise, like, what would you recommend as, I think, like, a starter kit?
First off, I would go to Reddit.
Okay.
And specifically the VGC Reddit. It's just, like, r/VGC, because there are different formats in Pokemon. You can either play singles or doubles.
Wait, what's VGC?
Video Game Championships.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Which is, so, like, when you go to World Championships, you usually play doubles, I think. That's, like, the format. So, when you're building a team and selecting, like, how you're going to build your Pokemon, your stats, you have to be careful that you're picking them for doubles, because the strategies are completely different. You have to take into account, like, all the synergies of the Pokemon, and some Pokemon are just, like, completely unviable in doubles.
Okay.
For whatever reason, because just the strategies are different. So
what about YouTube? Who's your, like, go-to
YouTuber? It's just been this Wolfie guy.
Okay.
And he's very, very good. He's good about, like, breaking down his moment-to-moment strategy. Like,
Do they go back and do, I mean, I know there's commentary over like the world championships, but do they, like, will he go back and go over the matches and like commentate what's going on and like freeze stuff and be like,
yes,
this is where Gengar fucking normally his stare attack is whatever. Like,
yeah. It's like, it's incredible to watch these people. Like this guy, especially, he's like, cause when you start a match in competitive, they show you all of the opponent's Pokemon. But they don't show, like, any of the moves or anything, or, like, what the items they're holding. So, based on your knowledge, you have to, like, be like, they're probably going to lead with these Pokemon, so I'm going to lead with these.
Right.
And then to counter me, they're going to bring these, so I'm going to bring these ones.
Ultimately, so, it's all psychological, like, every esport, like, any
sounds stressful
sport to
maybe,
a large
but, like,
degree.
I've never really taken part in watching, like, a turn-based esport.
Yeah.
Where there's, like, actually, you have, like, a minute and a half beforehand to, like, think of your strategy, and then, like, each turn you have 30 seconds.
Interesting.
So it's incredible to watch this guy be like, okay, I bet this Gengar has this move. And so with that in mind, I'm going to do this.
Does Gengar have a move called Stare? Is that possible?
He's got mean look.
Okay.
Close enough.
Yeah. It's not good, but Stare. He has.
I'm calling back like 22-year-old, calling on 22-year-old memories. What's that?
Leer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Give me a quick dummies guide to the meta. Who is the like widely accepted to be like top tier, like, oh, of course you're using, like, lame, you're using fucking so and so, and who is garbage, who's like, holy fuck, they won the Ditto with, you know, won the tournament with Ditto or whatever. Like,
I feel like more Pokemon than not are garbage, at least consider garbage, because if you have a Pokemon that's not evolved, for the most part they're not viable because their stats aren't high enough.
Sure.
The top meta performers right now are largely this Pokemon Dragapult and Togekiss. I've played about 75 competitive matches so far.
Wow.
And I've seen those two Pokemon more than anything. So when building my team, I had to take into account like how I was going to counter that. Because that's like the biggest viable strategy right now. And also, Lapras is huge.
Okay.
Are
legendary Pokemon in general going to be super strong? And
they will be. They're banned right now competitively.
Oh,
so you can't even bring them.
Interesting.
Nice.
Which is nice because their stats are like way overpowered.
Yeah. Are any standard Pokemon banned also?
There are some of the Gigantamax Pokemon are banned.
That makes sense.
And so every season, each season seems to last a month, they add like new ones in. So like in the raid format, or in the raid gameplay, just like in the wild area in Pokemon right now, there's like a ton of Gengars and Machamp. So the thinking is that in the next season, those Pokemon are going to be made viable or made legal. So you then like rebuild your team around this new meta, I guess is the idea.
So are they in patches and stuff? Are they rebalancing? Are they nerfing? And
I don't think they're rebalancing or anything. Like all the Pokemon stats are made.
Right.
And so it gives me like a much greater appreciation for how much balancing goes into a game like this.
Yeah. I was very curious if they seem to historically have paid any attention at all to the competitive scene. Like, I know they foster it and they promote it, but if they actually are taking it into account when they're making the game in patches and like address it in patch notes and stuff.
I don't think that it gets patched in the way that like Super Smash Brothers does, where right. they like buff a character.
Okay.
I think what happens though is that in each new game, so like when Sword and Shield came out, they rebalance a bunch of Pokemon. Like they
right with each new game, they think yeah. about it, but maybe not so much.
I don't think like patches. Season to season, or, like month to month, they don't do that.
I'm sure if they found something that was like just super breaking the game or something, they would probably do something about it.
I think yeah. what they do usually is just ban that Pokemon from
So I'm still makes curious. Sense. Are there any standard Pokemon who are like just oh yeah, fuck that guy, he's super ridiculously powerful, like just no good? Because I'm always interested when these things turn out to be like, okay, yeah, we didn't intend for that to be that way, so let's just...
I haven't seen anything like that, and I haven't read or, like, okay. watched anything like that so far, but I think, like, every new Gigantamax Pokemon has a new strategy around it. Like,
yeah.
Lapras is the hotness right now, because if you Gigantamax it, it, like, basically halves damage for your whole team for a while, and that can be totally... That can, like, totally fuck you up if you don't prepare for it.
Sure. Who's your surprise... go-to Pokemon that you won't read in any like how-to thing about the meta, but you're like, haha.
I really like Roserade right now, which is...
So you're not referencing any Generation 1?
They're not Gen 1 Pokemon.
So I'm waiting for you to be like...
Well, one thing I have learned is that Gen 1 Pokemon are some of the most viable and the most heavily used.
Interesting.
Because...
Well, they're the best.
So well, they're the best, but they're also so old that their movesets are really diverse. Like typically the newer Pokemon, if you're like a fire and a dragon type, you know mostly fire and dragon type moves.
Yeah.
But like a Pokemon like Arcanine or Gyarados can learn like moves that are like eight yeah. different types.
Right.
So you can have a bunch of coverage that people don't expect on those Pokemon.
Before the game got more like refined down yeah. to and narrow. That is interesting.
So you said you did 75 matches. What's yes. what's your record?
Yes.
I'm currently in like Great Ball rank 9. So I think I'm like two ranks.
What does that
off,
translate to?
I'm two ranks off the top.
Translate that into English.
Okay.
So once you get to the top, you're like they place you in like whatever thousand you are in the world.
Oh.
And then you like just ride the ladder up. So like that Wolfie guy I was watching, he brought this like terrible Pokemon Leafeon with him, and it was like, this is my journey to number one, and he fucking got there.
Wow.
Wait, but how many of those 75 matches did you win, and how many did you lose?
Oh, I'm like 50-50 right now.
Huh. Okay.
Which is not great. My what I've learned is that like the better players win about 75%.
Okay,
but it's not terrible for like my first season in.
Sure,
I think
yeah.
so.
No, sure, that's really in. And you're digging it. It sounds like
I love it, and I'm yeah. totally obsessed with it.
It's something you can absolutely go out and do if you're like stuck
yes,
at home with a
thing,
lot of
yeah.
time, like a lot of people are right now. Right,
the eShop went down, or like Nintendo services went
yeah,
down a couple days ago, and that like. I mean, I fucking
so
read a book.
apparently, I'm hearing a lot of stuff anecdotally, like from friends and some like news sources, but mostly rumors and stuff, because I think people don't want to be like crowing about it too much. But like, yeah, online games right now are exploding, and like totally mm-hmm. understandably so. You know, I'm sure Netflix is always also getting crazy numbers, which we should talk about Netflix recommendations.
Yes.
Some part of this.
I just saw somebody
podcast.
Saying, I forget what game it was, but they just like, they greatly increased their like server load or whatever. Yeah. Like it's
Fortnite,
just sort of...
Call of Duty, Destiny, by all accounts, just are just like killing it right now. And good on them, you know, like those games all have free-to-play options now, you know, like that Call of Duty
that like just launched.
It did
yeah.
and it
Warzone yeah
just exploded out of the gate, and by all, you know, it seems like it deserves it. It sounds like it's a really good like fresh arcadey, well more arcadey mm-hmm. less inventory take on battle royale. Like it looks amazing. Like I've seen pictures out of it, and it's like the background of somebody's fuzzy thing, and it's just like, are they just like watching footage from Afghanistan, like with a dude in a helicopter in
which,
the background?
Which Call of Duty dev did it? Do you know? Is it like Treyarch?
No, I'm terrible keeping track of those guys. But
there's a mainline game coming out this year, isn't there? For Call of Duty,
a mainline game coming out.
Is there ever not
every year?
Oh, I just wonder. Like, it's weird for them to put out something now and then also in the fall. But I bet
has been in the works for a while now, and it's just the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, like they, yeah.
Actually,
I think of it as like a different line. You know,
yeah,
think
that's
of it
true.
As like the mobile game or something like that.
But yeah, there's a lot of weird. I mean, well, that's not weird. It's just sort of it's the I guess result of what's going on in the world now is, yeah, like you're seeing online games get more crowded. You're seeing games get delayed or canceled, or...
So I think there's going to be more of that, and that's actually something interesting.
Movies are getting hit really hard, too, obviously.
To talk about, yeah. Movies are getting delayed and stuff.
Did you see Sonic movie got delayed in Japan, by the way?
Yeah.
It did, yeah.
It was so close to release that they already had, like, commercials on and everything, and now the commercials just say, like, a super vague, like, I don't know what... You translate it to, like, you know, in the coming days, basically. Right. Like, it doesn't have actual date on it.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, like... thing to think about, I guess, is like, at what point do you know, the games that have been coming out, Animal Crossing, Doom Eternal, you know, some people are joking about, hey, release them early and stuff like that.
Did you say they are releasing Doom early?
No.
GameStop is
breaking the street date.
Isn't it out today anyway?
Same day as Animal Crossing,
right,
but they're just going to release it a day early, so it's not the same congestion.
Available early at GameStop.
Oh, that's why. I see. Yeah. To keep people... I see.
Right, yeah. From all coming at midnight
or
whatever.
Smart.
But I do think that is, you know, these were already in the pipeline and stuff. It will be interesting as things get further out, especially into, like, late summer and then fall, you've got launch games for new hardware, and you've got new hardware itself.
Yeah.
So, like, is there ever any point at which it's like, okay, well, I mean, nobody knows when this thing is going to last. Like, a lot of people seem to be roughly saying, you know, late summer and things like that. So, and maybe it's a moot point, but maybe it's not. Like, is there a point at which it's just like, well, everything goes a little slower because everybody's working from home. Games couldn't come together because not everybody could have hardware at home, especially the new hardware.
Right.
You know, Halo couldn't make launch, or Gran Turismo couldn't make... I'm just pulling... I have no fucking...
Sure.
Have they even announced a first-party PS5 game?
They haven't. No. I think the game stuff is coming separately.
So,
later.
Yeah. So, they did announce... Somebody has announced a PS5 game, remember?
Game Awards, I think.
Is at the Game Awards, right? Is there ever any point at which it's like, well, we can't... Oh, my God. What? Don't look at me like
Live.
That. Don't look at me like that. Is there ever any point at which it's like, well, okay, we can get some units out, but not enough units to make it worthwhile? Oh my God, I'm dying.
Enjoy our last episode.
Kill me.
Folks.
Save the last bullet for me. Leave one bullet in the chamber.
You're knocking on the wood hard here.
It's allergies, people. It's allergies.
Yeah, it's
listen to me. You heard
right
me
now.
Wheeze. Yeah, it's been really bad, actually. But at a point where it's like, well, we can do this, but it's going to be like PS2 all over again. Like, there's going to be like 10,000 units only.
Yeah,
or 360 was really bad, too, right? Like, where it doesn't make sense to do it. And they say, I don't know, let's hold off. I mean, I have no idea. What do you...
I mean...
Take a drink every time Mark sneezes.
I mean, yeah.
You'll all be
wash out
soon.
The toxins. Do you think that this may only affect one, though? Like, say, theoretically, like, this affects only PlayStation 5.
I think the only way it's going to affect these guys is if literally it impacts the production, like, line, you know, in China or something or whatever, because otherwise...
But just the games too, right?
Yeah.
Like,
the games are not as big of a... I mean, yes, it's important, but I think, you know, launching new hardware for both of these guys is probably, like, number one thing, and they're probably both thinking, ooh, there's a small opportunity, chance here that the other guy doesn't make it.
That,
you know,
is exactly...
So we gotta do ours. They're both
thinking
that. That's
the interesting dynamic is it's like... Yeah, it's like a stare down. It's
exactly.
Like, who's going to blink first?
Unless they talk behind the scenes and, like, agree to both not release or something.
Yeah, it would be a huge, stare down.
But
of
both,
like,
of them being backwards compatible, though, I'm sure they've got at least one game that's probably guaranteed to be ready or on time. So, like, as long as they have something they can do to showcase the hardware.
Well, here's the thing that I would worry about. And again, I have no special knowledge at all.
Sure.
Because of my position or anything. But I would worry more about... I'd worry less about things not coming out and more about them coming out half-baked. So hardware and games, like, anytime you have a hard date like that you have to hit, especially with new hardware, right? We've seen this before where games come out and they're more unfinished than usual, need to be patched, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I could see a lot of games coming out day one being like the non-patched disc version would be, you know what I mean? And it taking more time for, like, the little more polished, a lot of quality of life tweaks, a lot of things that probably should have been happening at launch, happening, you know, a month later or whatever in a patch. Like, yeah. I could see that if it's like, we don't know how far in advance they have to make their marketing commitments and their manufacturing things and like all that pipeline and how that goes. But that could work both ways too, right? Like, if Amazon, for whatever reason, is not shipping stuff as much as they're normally able to, and people can't go to stores to buy the thing, like, does it make sense to ship the amount that you normally would in a normal season? Right. You know, there's so many different little factors that can influence it. Yeah. The game industry is like any other industry right now. You know, it's like sports right now. It's like, what do you do, excuse me, if you're that NBA commissioner, you know? Do you, like, what the hell do you do? At what point do you give up the season?
Right,
do you do
right.
playoffs? Do you, you know, when do you make what decisions? It's just,
I think generally speaking, this year on the calendar, like historically, is just going to be a wash for like most of everything. It's just going to be like, yeah, there was no this, there was no that. But the thing is also,
but that's
like,
a weird thing to say in a year when there's
tons of stuff going
console
on.
Generation
for sure, for sure.
Switchover supposed to happen.
But that is the video games. Really are, it's not just because this is our thing, it's really true. They are like one of the few things that actually is actually very good in a time like this.
And that's the flip side. That's the flip side. It's like, oh shit, maybe this is double the reason to actually do this. And not just like in a, like, you know, cynical capitalistic sense. It's like, hey, yeah, you actually are like helping people. It's
but
like a win-win situation.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think so. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Very interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised like if they both ended up not coming, you know, but I also, and I wouldn't be like super upset either. I mean, it's understandable, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, unless there's manufacturing issues or something, I don't think like a shortage of games or half-baked games are going to be what stops it from happening. I feel like the only thing that's going to stop it from happening is like they literally just can't do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they could always do it with just fewer units, though, right? I mean, it's just a matter of, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's
going to be a strange year.
I think we'll know more by June. Like, if things are still like this, or if they've gotten any worse, I think there's...
Yeah, I mean, the marketing machine is already starting to... The wheels are beginning to turn. So, by June, July, they have to start getting in motion. And if they can't do that,
yeah,
that could be catastrophic, you know?
So, yeah, actually, we have a lot of news to talk about there, so
sure,
why don't
we do.
Jump into we that. So some of which happened last night. John, I know you were awake. Dermot, did
I
you
watched it, yeah.
You did?
I watched it, yeah.
Well, you're up, you're
for better
usually
or worse.
Up late anyway,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So what was your... I quit at Jack 2. I remember specifically.
Oh, I got
Jack
way
was
past
mentioned.
That.
I'm like, all right, I'm out. I'm
I
out.
Was actually
I'll
really glad
sleep.
That it wasn't. And when he was about to talk about the game, I was like, don't let it be Knack. And then it was like Jack 2, so I was like, oh, okay, not bad.
And like, yeah, this is not bagging on Mark Cerny at all.
No.
He did,
he's amazing. I
yeah,
mean, I think
with
he's a genius.
Explaining that topic, like, it'd be fucking way more...
I felt like I was in class.
Dry and boring basically. And whatever, yeah.
We're talking about the PS5 live stream, by the way.
That's
where
right.
Mark yes. Cerny went over the kind of hardware situation and technical details. Was going
yeah.
to be a... GDC talk that ended up not happening.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and then
yeah.
therefore this week, which was when this week was GDC, right? Or was
yeah,
it
was supposed
yeah.
to be.
Yeah. GDC was going to be happening this week, so rather than do it, they decided to tape it and put it up on YouTube and whatnot.
Yeah, it even had like the cardboard cutout, like Mystery Science Theater people, which is like a
they moved.
They were real.
Say,
yeah.
Shut. What?
They were.
They,
people,
were,
yeah.
they weren't real people.
Shut.
Yeah.
The hell.
Everybody
was
watching.
Those
that.
Were not real
no,
people.
No, they were.
I think they were just like.
I saw them move
digital.
Myself.
They moved, but they always moved in the same way.
Oh, did they?
No,
yeah,
they
yeah,
were
yeah.
like posed. They were like posed in a way that's like, hey, look at me. I'm a person. Here's my arm. Like,
it, no, dude, they move. They
yeah,
definitely
every once
moved.
In a while,
I was
the guy
watching
the far
no,
left.
But even
he
if
moves.
They moved, it's like, why? I saw people saying that, but like, why? Those,
oh, no, it's pointless. It's not
people.
A good idea.
And yeah, it was just weird. It was just weird. A lot of weird choices there. But
well, if we wanted to, yeah, I was going to say, let's get the negative out of the way quickly, which, you know.
It made for a lot of good memes. Let's say that.
Yes.
But like, how much did. So, okay, let's go over what we actually learned. So, hard drive is going to be super fucking fast. We knew that. Like, we have yeah. a better. It's a more developer focused thing. Let's. The takeaway from this is it's not for us if us is like. People who are just really into games. It was
you,
developer.
You mean the video? The presentation was not for
the
us,
presentation.
Not the PS5, right? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
No, right. Yeah,
but no. I think that was kind of a problem because okay, to be fair, Sony didn't really go out of their way to. Sony did not make it sound like this was going to be something that was like kind of for everyone. But they also didn't go out of their way not to.
No,
and
yeah, they
and that
they,
was a mistake.
They tweeted it from the main
yes,
regular
right.
account, and they just said deep dive into the
yeah.
PS5. There was
yes.
not. I would have been more. It's a balancing act, and they did wait till the last minute to not get. I think the thinking there is to not let expectations get too nuts. They announced it just the day before, but
sure,
Microsoft didn't even do that.
I know,
and like for better and for worse, because you had like, I'm like 600,000-700,000 people just watching that live stream just on YouTube. Maybe that was the only place that it was, but like a shit ton of people watching it. But then also, there was definitely like some backlash and some disappointment at people being like, "Oh yeah, it's not for me." But all that aside,
right?
Just the technical information we did get. I guess they revealed the rest of the specs, and believe it or not, we don't really know much about specs on this podcast, so we'll leave that up to the people at like Digital Foundry and things like that.
Yes.
The general reaction seems to be that the stuff that Microsoft announced is seems stronger.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if that also means it's more expensive. You know, we don't know if we're still comparing apples to apples in terms of like SKU to SKU and that sort of thing, in terms of like, does the power actually line up? But
Cerny did a good job of making me realize that I'm probably never going to understand which is more powerful, because like he did make it sound like, you know, if you put them number to number, numbers wise, a number of these things, do the numbers are higher on the Xbox side, but the way they use them and the way Mark Cerny tried to explain that, and I kind of got half of
did it. Did he make that point specifically about the Xbox?
No, not about the Xbox, but a couple times he just he's like, you know,
the numbers don't tell the story.
The numbers aren't as much as this, but the way we're using them is more, you know, doing this, and it's like, oh, well, okay, at the end of the day, I don't know, but it sounds
like that could totally be true. I think something else.
I don't think he's being, I mean, he obviously has like the brain of like an alien, like super genius. So like, he's talking to some people who actually do get it, and maybe they're getting excited. From my perspective, it was just like, okay, this sounds really powerful, and then when they got to the audio thing, I was like, that actually sounds interesting to me.
So yeah, so that's where, like, that's where I was going next. It's like they really got deep into super hyping the audio. I think it's like ray tracing for audio, right? It's basically like it follows the same physical properties, physics properties that sound does. And so
I learned that PS3 had incredible sound, like arguably more powerful than PS4. I did not know
really
that from this. Yeah, basically because of the cell processor and the way it handles data and what was it, SPUs and this and that and the other thing. But anyway, like,
that's what we get into with this stuff, which is not our
you know what, it did remind me of, like, I don't know if back in the day spec discussion was at a level that even I could understand, and I'm talking about like the when like the Super Famicom came out and they talked about the specs, and we used to discuss how, you know, the Genesis processor was faster than the Super Nintendo one, but at the same time Super Nintendo had a much better sound chip and all these things, and like when he was explaining it, I started to feel a little bit like I understood it in that same way. So I was getting a little bit excited in the way that I did back in the day when I would read specs in a magazine new hardware.
One of the things that is nice is a lot of the stuff they're using is the same, so it does line up, and you can just compare the numbers. So it's,
you mean,
like,
between Microsoft and Sony?
Between PlayStation 5 and Series X. So it's like, okay, they both use AMD Zen 2. PlayStation 5 is at 3.5 gigahertz, 8 core, and Microsoft is at 3.8 gigahertz, 8 core. And then... Yeah. You know, the GPU is both AMD RDNA 2, and one is 10.28 teraflops, and the other is 12 teraflops. So it's like, oh, okay, this sounds like it's better, but
But even apparently teraflops cannot be measured like teraflop to teraflop.
So, because of course, there's all this other stuff. There's loading times. There's like system architecture and, like, bus speed and whatever. The stuff that we can really talk about, right, is, like, storage and memory. Like, memory is an easy one, and they both have 16 gigs of the same type of memory,
sure.
And then storage,
Xbox has more.
Yeah, it has more. Who knows how much the system is going to take up on both of these?
True.
And so, how much space you'll actually have? But like on the sheet, PlayStation 5 is 825 gigabytes. Microsoft is 1 terabyte.
Yeah.
That said, there is some difference in when you want to expand your storage, which is probably going to happen with, you know, how big games are getting.
Yeah.
Probably going to be, it was already something this generation, and they're only going to be, you know, way bigger next generation. So
right,
Sony, they don't even really know yet and can't really say yet which hard drives are going to be spec compatible.
That part is what, so it's funny going into this. It wasn't a weekend, but like it felt like it. The last 4 days or whatever, like I started out hearing about Microsoft's extra storage solution, which are these like additional that like,
port
like
on the back
mini
is this weird
sort of, it's almost like a the hard drive version of a memory card, essentially, yeah. Right? It's like a
hard drive and a
proprietary
memory
format.
Card loved each other very much.
Right.
Very
memory
much.
Card, yeah.
And then
you had a hard drive.
8 months later.
And they, you know, so, which means you have to buy this specific model, and that does present potential problems if that model is not widely available or if it's overpriced. It's the Vita memory card fear. We're not sure that it's going to be that problem, but that was a very big problem that arguably helped kill the Vita ahead of its time. So
it
like,
said it looks pretty cool.
But yeah, well, that's the thing. Starting out, though, I was like, ugh, this is terrible. But then I heard Sony's solution, and I actually think I prefer Microsoft's. At least with them, I know exactly what I'm getting. Mm. It's made designed to work with the Xbox. Mm-hmm. Sony kind of admitted that at launch there may not be add-on hard drives that meet the spec that they require. Because it's kind of like the open format versus like closed format. It's like Windows World versus PC. Like one of them is going
to
let you do whatever the hell you want, which has merits if what you want is out there. But it may not work as well. The spec may not be designed, you know, up to the same level of quality as the one inside the PS5.
Presumably, though, if that's going to be the biggest market as we think it's going to be, somebody will, like they've done before, even market things towards that, and Sony will put out a compatibility list, and the free market will make it so prices are probably much, you know, better.
Hopefully, but
scenario.
I still would, I hope that Sony will have first party options, because I will feel more comfortable buying a Sony, you know, like I suddenly like this Microsoft idea, because at least I know what I'm getting out of it.
The other funny clip that I heard after the fact, because again, I just tapped out when I was like, okay, we have this spec sheet from Eurogamer leaked like right before the presentation. Yep. And so this is basically just going over this stuff. Maybe I'll watch it, you know, while I'm cleaning this weekend or something. But the part about like sending a picture of your ears.
That was weird.
that was weird.
So like the sound is so specific that it's like, you know, changing the focal length or whatever on VR goggles that everybody's head is different. And so therefore, like how you hear sound is different, and what's perfect for you is different from another person. And he's like, we don't know. Right now there's like 5 different profiles that you can choose from, and they have a way of figuring out which one's for you. Maybe there'll be a game that figures it out for you. And he's like,
yeah,
pontificating, like, I don't know, maybe it will like send a picture of your ears and you'll get it like custom made for you and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, okay, that sounds weird and funny. But it's like, actually, if that's going to make the difference where I can actually finally have a game, you know, sometimes it would happen in like a Resident Evil 7 where it's like, okay, that sounds like it's behind me, and I look behind me and it's there. But like, if you think about how good your hearing is in real life and all the different things you can do and know with certainty in real life, and I've been in badass, awesome surround sound systems. I have a pretty good one. I've had surround headphones on and stuff like that. I've heard good stuff, especially in movies and in some games, but never where it's been like anything I would call like really close to real life.
Yeah.
But like if you could do that, and with all the subtleties too of like footsteps, like a horror game where you actually were in just an abandoned building and could hear footsteps with the degree of certainty of where they're coming from that you would have in real life.
Kenji Eno was like ahead of his time with what was it, Real Sound or whatever. But I mean, like, yeah, if you could play a game where in theory you can't see what you're, you know,
dude, I would
want
to replay
like,
Remake 2 with Mr. X with that sound to be able to actually hear where that is coming from.
Yeah,
would be fucking awesome. And so, yeah, like I hope that this is not one of these things that's just kind of empty hype. And 2 years from now, we're like, you know, somebody you forget it, and somebody's like, "Remember when they did that sound thing with the?"
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, because those things have happened in the past.
It sounds like all the pieces are in place for it to not be hype. It's just more a matter of, is it going to be worth it for developers to spend the time? You know, he even mentioned this in his talk, but he talked about how like it's not really been a thing where people, you know, it was worth it for them to spend a lot of time on it, because audio is like underused and maybe underappreciated. But to me, like audio, I got really excited at this part, because audio to me is like maybe number one or maybe number two on the things that I think that I appreciate about games, or gets me excited or gets me into a game. Like if you lose me at the audio, you kind of lose me for the whole game.
Sure.
So
I just want to experience it to be like, oh yeah, okay, this does make a difference. You know, like even that startup sound should be something that's like makes use of that, you know, where it's like, oh,
makes
oh, this
you feel
is,
like you're there.
This is different.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Whatever this is different.
It'll be great.
Yeah, what else from that
so
that
the solid the
they didn't talk about the controller, which is a little weird, I felt like, because Xbox is like unprecedented that you can use the current controller. Like, that is, wow. Like, all the reselling controllers, all the reselling accessories, all the normal stuff that you go through. Well, you could
do that on PS4, too. But, like, no, pretty early on, though, people didn't do it because it just PS4 controller was better. But
you mean using the PS3 controller?
Yeah.
You could do it with some things, but not everything, right?
You can do it with everything. It's just some things aren't going to work because it doesn't have the buttons that the PS4 button, you know, controller needed.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think you could do that with everything, though. I think that I think maybe the backwards compatible games you could for sure.
Yeah, of course.
The backwards compatible, but I think it was only the backwards compatible.
I don't remember.
Like, a lot of games need the touchpad, and there's no equivalent.
That's what I'm saying. Well, yeah, that's the point. Like, yeah, you could try, but you're only going to get, you know, moderate functionality out.
But like they did add stuff. You know, they added the touchpad. They added the share button.
Sure.
So on the one hand, I want to see the new, the weird, the like kind of going for it stuff. On the other hand, it's like, that is kind of nice to not, especially now the controllers are like $70.
I know.
Especially like Nintendo rebuying the fucking Pro Controller. They make good controllers. I will give them that. But rebuying the Pro Controller for every
system. I know.
Is kind of a drag.
Maybe the controller is, you know, they did talk a little bit about what the controller would have with the, what was it? The, you'll be able to sort of, haptic button something or other, you can design your own buttons or whatever. What are they talking about?
Oh, right.
Or whatever. Yeah. So maybe that's a big enough deal to them that that's going to be its own presentation.
Right, and they put out that peripheral for the DualShock 4 too. You know, with the
That's
true.
Which like, I have not been able to get.
Is that a hint? Has anybody trying to get that?
Trying for a while, yeah, because I realized it would be helpful in Final Fantasy 14 to like be able to like set some stuff as like custom buttons. But,
so
like,
you
I
basically
find
clicks
it.
Onto the controller and you have four more buttons on the back
that you can
customize.
Which does absolutely seem like it's something they're future-proofing for the PS5.
To some degree, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's because they already said the PS5 is going to have some kind of custom button thing. But, you know, the other thing, though, we still haven't really talked about this, but his explanation of how the SSD was going to benefit gameplay did excite me. I mean, I kind of knew some of that already going in, but like the for example, you know, he showed that were you still with us with the video when he showed the map of
Jack 2?
Not that map, but he showed like, you know, like a castle with like a long
yeah.
You know, that made a lot of sense to me, and that is a thing. And I mean, how many elevators have we been in video games for that express purpose? But he also said like specifically, in the time it takes to turn a character around, they could load in new textures and data, and like that is exciting to me because like a game like Assassin's Creed or something, which is already interesting for what it does with exploration and environments, you could just be doing crazy shit. The game could just be doing all kinds of amazing stuff that it couldn't do before. So that is like, it's hard to sell that to people, I feel like. But I think when people start to actually see it in games,
the kind of stuff
it's going to be exciting.
Like anything, you need to show it, right? Like that's one of the things that I think Microsoft did better is that, you know, even Sony, they had that Spider-Man example, but you didn't really see that officially for a long time.
I was surprised. I don't think we've ever seen that officially. I was surprised it wasn't
just
there
like
last
off-screen
night.
Or something, right? Like
somebody had a video of it. Oh, was that not official release? I mean, I saw the video, but the video maybe was only for retailers or something, or I forget.
It was like a GameStop thing or whatever. But the Microsoft thing was like, show the HDR, show the, you know, even if it's not, even if it's just the Gears game or already existing game, showing the load time on a popular game that people are going to play, you know, like show, what does this mean for like Destiny players or Final Fantasy 14 or people who regularly play their games for long stretches that have long load times.
I am bummed that both of these systems' hard drive is kind of maxed out. The internal hard drive, I mean, at a terabyte, at least for now, because like my current PS4, I actually put an SSD in my PS4 like 3 years ago or something. And so when games aren't designed for it to begin with, it doesn't really matter too much, but it does make a difference in load times. Like Monster Hunter loads like twice as fast as it used to.
Right.
But anyway, I'm already like a terabyte. I'm constantly having to delete games to put new games on. And so I feel like with backwards compatibility plus the new stuff that's coming out.
Oh, dude. I mean, games are going to be so much bigger in size, too, when they can be doing that freaking instant loading.
They're huge even now. Like, isn't Final Fantasy VII Remake on 2 discs?
I don't know, actually, but I wouldn't be surprised.
They said that.
Should we talk about the Series X then? I think we talked about it a bunch in different ways already, but people got a better look at that. They invited in some YouTuber and And yeah, other people who saw it took different pictures of it from different angles.
This reminded me of when you guys broke the original Xbox. You remember, like, EGN had the world exclusive on that.
I remember it very
and,
well.
And, like, got to go see it before everybody else. And you were part of that whole thing, right?
Yeah,
like,
it was me and Crispin. Yeah, so we wrote that cover story. Yeah, you were not super impressed by the box itself.
I liked it more the first time they showed it. When they showed it this time, Eurogamer had some pictures of it, like, in horizontal, you know, form.
Without all the fancy lighting.
Yeah, and it looks like a giant power brick. There's nothing stylish about it. And also, like, the...
It's like a monolith. It's slightly, like a classy monolith.
I think it looks really cool.
Monolith.
Is it concave or...
Thank you, Dermot.
It looks like a PC... what's the word?
It's like a monolith. It looks like a piece of a powerful spaceship... broke
it looks
off
like a piece
fell
of case.
To the planet.
No, it does. I don't. I wish it did. I don't think so.
I am bummed that the green is apparently not an LED light in the vent.
Right, it's like a film or something.
It's just.
But that
like
means
a
you could put other films in. So
no.
But I wanted to pulse at me.
I don't like that the grate on the side or whatever is not flat. It's like sort
oh, no,
of.
No, I like that.
Yeah, but it just looks bad.
It's breathing, John. It's breathing. It's alive.
It looks like a giant power brick, and I have bad memories
it's
of
alive.
How ugly that stupid
inhaling,
power brick
John.
Was.
Like the 360.
The original 360 is still. A sexy system that they somehow managed to make look really good. I feel like every other Xbox has been ugly as shit.
The 360 was pretty
awesome.
It's
not as bad as the other ones, but it's not as good as it should be.
The current Xbox X, I had to fucking sit and
Xbox
think about
One
it for
X.
a second. Yeah. One X is like... inoffensive. It looks like
it
a PS2 like,
but that's what this new thing is to me too. It's like it's inoffensive, but it's also like it's a weird shape.
I think they're doing something interesting in the same way that like the Wii did, where they were like put it horizontal, you know, or put it vertical rather.
But well, most systems can be vertical though, right? PS3 can be.
It does
PS4
look better
be,
vertical, and I don't have a way to put it vertical in a non-dust environment. So I don't know. I think I'm gonna have to put it behind my TV.
Mm. Yeah, it's not a convenient shape. I hope that PS5 at least is a shape that's going to be more convenient than this.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
It's a little bigger than I thought.
The Xbox
is the Series X. It's not huge. I don't think it's gonna fit horizontally in my entertainment center, even if I wanted to. It's like a receiver level thing.
I noticed for mine that it is, but it's going to require me moving out something else.
Yeah.
Which like, already I'm doing like this weekend, because I think I'm going to take my Xbox One X out of the closet for Phantasy Star Online.
Too. Oh, there you go.
But that means I got to move something else.
Look at you. What else did they kind of announce and talk about? Any other like notable news that came out of the Xbox? They had the demo of the thing showing faster.
It's
the
funny.
HDR
it feels like this
on
is like
old
2 months
games.
Ago. It was just the other day.
Dude, every
so much
day
stuff
feels
has
like a year
like in this,
right now. it supports the 1 terabyte expansion cards.
Yeah.
Removable storage. They showed like a lot of stuff in backwards compatibility. And actually, that was something about the PlayStation 5 thing. It said something about the top 100 games mostly.
Yeah.
Working.
Yeah, they've tried. Yeah. So
it sounds like when Xbox first said, oh, yeah, we're going to be backwards compatible with more coming online all the time. What was that, the 360?
Yeah. I forget which one it was, but that, yeah, it's the same thing. They're not all guaranteed to work, but it sounds like most of them will work out of the box. Some games are going to be issue.
It's just not, it's not automatic. It has to be checked and, and tested and whatever it sounds like.
I mean,
like,
Xbox has got them way beat in that regard.
Yeah, and
sounds
the
like it's a little better solution.
I'm excited about Xbox. And I mean, you
me
guys,
too.
Anyone who's listened to me knows I have not been excited about anything Xbox in a really long time. But I mean, I am a big fan of backwards compatibility. I'm disappointed that PS4 seems like it really is not going to have. I'm sorry, PS5 is not going to have PS3.
So PC. do we think that's you know, that rumor about it being like through PS3 and PS2 and PS1 all in it? Do we think they're not like holding cards to their chest or whatever? We think
I hope
there's
a chance that they are. Kind of goes against everything I've heard over the years, because a lot of this is not like a new conversation. Like, we're always asking where is backwards compatibility, and it sounds like, you know, for various reasons it hasn't been there. But you know, and what was it, Jim Ryan or something, like said some talk shit about backwards compatibility or something at one point, right? Like, yeah, a while ago. But it's like, you know, that to me, like the PS3 did backwards compatibility great, right? You have all these games on PSN you could download for PS1 and PS2. I actually own a lot of them, like in my PSN library.
It had a whole the chip in it, right? The PS3?
The only initial PS3 yeah. did. The later PS3 also plays all these PS1 and PS2 games.
But
off
it wasn't
PSN.
As good as the initial one that had the chip.
No, it didn't play every single game. But the point is, they still made the effort to put this huge library and other stuff too, like PC Engine games. And there's a bunch of shit you could play on PS3.
Yeah.
That just went blank on PS4. Like, I want them to bring that back. Like, they are wrong. And kind of short-sighted if they really think people aren't going to be, especially now, interested in having PS1 games on PS5. Like, that generation is now the people old enough to buy PS5 with their own money. They want to be able to relive those experiences. And nostalgia is a powerful tool if you wield it correctly.
Isn't it interesting how things have turned, like, the conventional wisdom of, like, backwards compatibility really doesn't matter. Don't even talk about it. Maybe as, like, an offhanded thing. Like, now it's, like, it's just, like, assumed with just starting with this generation. Like, just 6 years ago, the consoles were not compatible with the last generation. Yeah. And
Nintendo's
now it's like,
always been good about keeping, like, at least two generations in a row, you know, compatible. It's almost always been that way. They rarely went on more than that, but that's always been their thing. But
Well, not always.
Well, I mean, for the game, we played the original Wii played GameCube games, Wii U played Wii games, you know, like, they, 3DS played DS games.
Like Switch and.
Yeah, I mean, it started at Wii.
It's generally Super Nintendo. Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, generally speaking,
they had a period there, and the handhelds were
Handhelds have always been pretty good. Boy, all the way down. At least the next one always played the previous one. Like
that same period though is when like the Wii had the best eShop. You know, like,
I know. The virtual console
was totally
amazing
gone
on the Wii.
But I think that was acknowledged as, I think there's a lot of reasons why this happened, but one, it was thought of as like a kid's thing. Like, parents buying stuff for their kids wanted to be able to say, okay, you can still use the previous games. That's now not the case anymore. And now it seems like not only is this generation going to be compatible, but it's going to be compatible like going forward, like kind of like a PC is what it seems like, right?
Hopefully, yeah. I think what happened to some degree is like, you know, I think this is a, I hope this doesn't come out wrong. In my head, it's still okay. But like Japanese companies in general, I feel like are maybe less inclined to be generous with content. And so when they realize that there's a market here to resell these games over and over again, they kind of jump on that. Whereas Microsoft is like, fuck it, we're going to give you guys everything from the last 5 years. If you can play it, you can do it.
Microsoft's attitude in general, I think, is very much an outlier, which is like,
but it's also the right attitude, I feel like.
I think it could very well pay dividends. Yeah. The attitude of, like, specifically Phil Spencer, I think, has been this. But it's been like, I actually don't, like, I'm not going to make you buy the hardware. I want you to buy the games on our thing. And, like, the whole PC, I mean, I kind of didn't understand it and criticized it before.
On our thing, meaning like our service.
Our specific bespoke hardware, our Xbox hardware. Like, go ahead, buy it on PC. That's fine. Right. Maybe we'll even put it out on Switch or whatever.
Right, right.
And I was like, I don't, but once and if games become a service, if it switches over, if Game Pass becomes a normal, big, prevalent thing, some of the other stuff they're talking about with streaming, with xCloud, if the this like Netflix of games thing becomes a big thing, which I think it could, then actually giving up the short term of console sales and like being thought of it, buying games because they're exclusive tied to hardware and stuff like that would be like a genius, long play. And like,
it's a genius long play, and it's one that you can only do if you really have like billions of dollars. And so
pockets,
you know,
deep
no one else
pockets. That's like a 10-year strategy.
Yeah, Nintendo can afford it, but they would never do that. But I mean, I think otherwise Sony can't afford that. Like, you have to be someone like Microsoft to do that. And so good on them for doing it, because it's a, it, you know, the thing is, if it doesn't work out, they're going to not be that much worse off for it. They just go back to doing things the old way, you know.
Yeah, like, does Nintendo get left behind in a streaming world, like the same way that they were the last to get online, kind of didn't understand it, the last, well, I shouldn't say the last to mobile, because I think they've done better on mobile than in any of the other first party manufacturers, but like, they're so late to adopt new technology that is there a big enough shift, like the shift to online games, that it finally is the thing that takes away their like desire to make hardware at some point, like 10, 15 years or whatever down the line?
I don't think so. I think there's always, at least right now, they're in a really good place with the Switch because it can be both, right? And I think that they have the handheld market cornered for a dedicated gaming handheld, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think going forward, they're probably going to stick with that, you know, a Switch type system, because there's nobody else is doing that.
Well, here's the thing.
And there's always going to be a call for it.
That's true, but also, like, I hate to use this word now because they've kind of made it played out, but it's true. Like, their whole thing is to be disruptive, right? So they will go, when everyone is going right, they will go hard left and do something else no one's expecting.
Let me play devil's advocate, though, Dermot. Mm. So if the Switch's special sauce, which is play it anywhere, no longer becomes a thing to an extent because now you have streaming on everything, any screen, laptop, mobile phone, iPad, whatever, and that the maybe first parties start putting out like little cradles that your phone goes into or whatever, if you want to have that more like controller experience. And if you don't, you always have it. You always have it on you.
Yeah.
And you already bought the game once and that's it. You can play the same game. It's all seamless. You have the cloud saves and whatever. So it's like, I don't know. Or does... I mean, Nintendo doesn't have like the infrastructure or the knowledge to like embrace that, but they would be in a really good position to potentially, you know, do something like that themselves. They have the content. The question is more like kind of like what's happening with HBO and Netflix, right? Let's take that. So like HBO had the content. They have the fucking grade A. You buy HBO just for the content. Can't get it anywhere else. Fucking world class. Biggest show in the entire world with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Literally had it. Nintendo is very much that with gaming content. Netflix is over here building up, and they have really good content, but also they become super prevalent, and they become like the huge thing. Does that happen with Microsoft? And now there's like a world where, and I don't know the specific financials and stuff, but HBO is like, okay, now we're going to do our own streaming thing. Let's get people to sign up for our own streaming thing. But everybody's already got Netflix.
Yeah.
And so can they, it might come a tipping point in the future where HBO just says, all right, fuck it, let's just sell it to Netflix, or Apple buys them, or they have to combine with somebody else because they slept too long on what ended up becoming the biggest.
But I think that never happens with Nintendo, because Nintendo forever has their IP, and like, so to use the HBO Netflix example you just gave, yeah, HBO was kind of ahead of the game with the smart decisions and everything else, but at the end of the day, everything they made was still essentially licensed from someone else, and the Netflix has the money now to probably buy anything they want. So like, Netflix and HBO should in theory even out for that reason. Maybe HBO is like smarter people making decisions or whatever, but they don't have their own like quote-unquote IP, whereas Nintendo...
No, HBO totally has their own IP.
But I mean, like, Game of Thrones was not HBO. Like, they licensed the book. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my point...
No, but the show was HBO.
That exists only... Yeah,
I know, but my point is that happened with money. Like, at some point, if you wind it all the way back, they made the right decision to give those guys a shitload of money. Netflix can do that, too. Nobody can go out and, like, make a Mario game besides Nintendo. You know what I mean? Nintendo has this IP that I feel like allows them to be late. It's frustrating for us, but it allows them to be late with anything because they can sit back and use their IP to float and figure out what they want to do next and then just do it.
But I'm even giving up in the example. I'm giving up that HBO has the best content. I'm not saying Netflix is buying away the content. HBO still has...
Yeah, they have great
the best content. But what I'm saying is, like, the Netflix content is good enough. Yeah, it's started.
It started already, yeah.
Yeah. You're not watching it?
Not yet. I'm with Westworld, I'll probably wait, like, till it's almost done, and then I'll start, because I don't want to be, like, I don't do the week-to-week.
Did you watch all of season two?
I did, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's on Amazon Prime Japan, if you haven't.
German. I haven't seen any.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited.
Dude.
I'm excited.
I heard it's not that good.
From who?
Season one is amazing.
From who?
Like, amazing.
From who, Dermot?
I'm not going to name names.
Throw him under the bus. Do it.
Is it Roy?
No, it's no one you know.
Was it Roy?
Roy loves it.
Okay.
Season two was disappointing, but season three looks good.
True. Compared to any other show, though, season two was still really good.
Sure.
Season one, though, compared to season one, it was not good. Season one was amazing.
Yeah. And to be fair, season one had like 40 years to like perfect that story, whereas season two had like a season, you know, a year. Basically.
They took a long time now for season three, though.
It looks good. I've only watched this trailer. It looks really good.
It's very different.
Before we get too far away, though, I still think, though, like, at the end of the day, Nintendo can kind of afford to do whatever they want because they built up this, like, massive amount of IP, like, beloved IP that people are going to want. I mean, Animal Crossing, Pokemon, you know, Mario, Zelda, this, that, and the other thing, any one of those could float Nintendo for a while, but they've got, like, a dozen of them, you know? So I think, like, even if they did, you know...
What do they have coming out? What do you think they're going to do related but new thread? What's the big Nintendo game for this fall?
It's Zelda.
What do you think?
Best case scenario, it's Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah.
I think it's still too early, though.
Right? Yeah. I just get a feel like it just seems too good to be true that would come out quickly.
I'm just basing it on Ocarina versus Majora was like, what, a year later, 2 years later at most?
Yeah, but development is so different now.
No, it was. And it's been longer than that now. It's been about double that now, but that double is about right for it to be Breath of the Wild 2 time.
Majora's Mask was a good couple of years. It felt like forever.
It was 2000, so it was 2 years later. It was a year and a half later. It was like April 2000, so it was like, literally 1.5 years.
But like they took time when Breath of the Wild came out to do the DLC too.
They did, but while they were doing that, I'm sure there was a team also picking away at the new thing too. I don't think it's just the same.
Sure, but it wouldn't have been full development.
Yeah, but because
so they have
of
Animal
that,
Crossing now,
it's not unreasonable to think Zelda would come out.
I don't think it's unreasonable. I think it's optimistic, though.
I that would be my only real guess, because otherwise it's like, I don't know. I mean, maybe they don't even know at this point. Maybe they're making a call really soon.
It could be Mario Odyssey 2. There was no DLC for that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if I don't think that's enough to get
what
people
else would
really
it be?
Excited.
Couldn't be Metroid too soon.
Yep.
Metroid is probably next year.
Xenoblade is probably May.
Xenoblade seems to be creeping up. Yeah, it's showing up on the eShop and stuff.
Yeah, Xenoblade.
But that's not
going to
be big
enough
to carry a holiday.
No, but just games that can't exist.
Sure.
You know,
a new IP. Splatoon 3.
Splatoon 3 is possible.
Splatoon has got to be happening. I mean, that was too big for them to ignore.
I think we would have heard about it by now, though, if it was this
Arms
year.
2.
Yeah, I'd be really curious. Getting something obvious.
I guess they
could be. I mean, Mario 3D World, just a re-release.
Maybe like a re-release of, I don't know.
We must be forgetting something.
E3 is going to be E3 is going to be interesting.
Yeah, E3 was going to be interesting.
Well, it's still E3. they're still putting out a digital something or other.
In fairness, I think we are getting close to a Nintendo Direct. There's going to be one pre E3. There's got to be.
Yeah. So actually,
I would almost say, because if you go by last year, wasn't there one right after the Indie World presentation? Like,
yeah,
I bet you there's one this month.
Yeah, it was like one of the longest stretches that we'd ever gone, or have ever gone still now, with no proper
no January one. Yeah.
And direct. That said, why don't we just segue into other news with that? There was a Indie World.
Yeah.
So now it's not Indies. They took the Indie World branding, which was a Japanese brand for their indie stuff, and they've now taken that worldwide. So,
and this one felt more international than anything.
It felt super international. I like that.
I think that was intentional. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a good format. Our friend of the show, John Minyaki, those guys, they did good. Like, that's not an easy job to do, to sound showman-y but also natural and not be annoying and stupid. And
even that, I feel like, was 10 times better than the best State of Play. Like, State of Play is just still so dry and
hard to do. Let's just acknowledge it's super hard.
It's very easy for me to complain about
tone.
It here from my seat, not doing anything on any of them. Yeah. But yeah,
it's just super hard to strike that tone.
They're good at it.
They did a good job of doing it. Having the developers talk about it a little bit, I think, was nice. Some good looking stuff in there. They ended with Exit the Gungeon, which became available that day. I think was on Apple Arcade. Yes, it was in September.
Oh, okay.
But that's its console debut. Pretty much everything, they're starting to be very clear now on theirs. Like, I think Microsoft's E3 conference was this way too, where it was like exclusive or console, timed exclusive, or they're starting to make it really clear, which is, I think, appreciated.
They made it clear, but they had a lot of them.
Yeah. No, they were almost all that.
Like, 9 out of 10 games was, like, exclusive in some regard.
Well,
in
at least the first half was exclusive, launching exclusive, right? Like,
but even that.
Console exclusive. Yeah. Timed console exclusive, I think, was, like, the name of the game. But that makes sense because, I believe the transaction that's going on there is Nintendo's like, hey, we're going to shine a spotlight on your game.
Oh, yeah.
Give us some exclusive time, but it doesn't have to be. We don't care about PC. Apparently, they don't care about Apple Arcade. Mm-hmm. They just want to own a little bit of the console time. And so
it's pretty amazing this is a little bit inside baseball, I guess, but like, it's pretty amazing that Nintendo has sort of made a value in purely like their internet presence and the because of their brand being so powerful and getting so many people to watch these things, like, just that alone, like, they don't have to pay money to a developer to be like, exclusive.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
We're just going to put you in our thing. And it's like, bam, deal done. Like, everybody wins.
It's the same thing, man. Like, I mean, Sony, just to speak from our own perspective, like, Sony tweets something or puts something on their YouTube channel.
Yep,
like, that costs them nothing. I mean, it costs the time that it takes somebody to make that tweet. And,
of course,
And other back-end stuff. But, like, that stuff is crazy valuable.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nintendo does just was out in front of it before anybody.
Just
does it so well.
What were you guys most into out of it? Out of that?
I liked the last
campfire.
I thought looked interesting. Interested in that style of game. Exit the Gungeon actually thought looked good.
Yeah.
Looked really good. Pixel Junk Eden 2, I'm always interested to see. Friends of the show.
Absolutely.
Bion. When was that? Summer?
Mm-hmm. Summer.
There was what was the Ghibli looking?
Baldo.
Baldo looked interesting.
That one
visually.
And then Summer in Morda, I think, or something?
Summer in Mara, yeah.
Mara, yeah. That one looks really cool.
Did you see... we should have printed this out for this. Did you guys see Day of the Devs? Sorry, a quick detour here.
No.
The Day of the Devs... I need to get a list of these games. If you haven't watched it, go and watch the Day of the Devs cast. It was also really cool because the Day of the Devs cast... They would explain what the game was, but they also just like let you see like a good like minute or two of the game. So you really got a feel of what the game was, which a lot of times will not work well at all.
No.
It's either too dry and boring or like too much going on or like a cutscene or not representative of the game. Like really well chosen. And the games were almost all things that I had totally never heard of and all looked amazing. Like those guys do a fucking... badass job of that. Definitely like hunt that down and watch it. I apologize that I don't have a list of it.
When was it? Was here. It like I can't in do the last couple weeks? Or?
It was literally today.
Oh,
I mean, today, wow. Japan, as we're recording this, it was like Wednesday U.S. time.
Cool.
Oh, this week. Definitely watch that. Man, a couple standout games.
I Am Dead looked really good in the.
Oh,
in
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they had a led with that.
What was the one with the like sort of realistic looking visuals, but then the cute little character doing all the platforming? Was that the first one?
Oh no, that was the first game. It was like blue something.
Yeah,
blue,
that
blue fire
that looked good.
Oh,
that
I
looked
know what
really
you're
good.
It did. Yeah,
I like that a lot.
You see these souls like, hey, we're putting souls in the title, so
for like a ban on that. Like you can't put souls in your game.
Dude, there's a lot more of that coming. I guarantee you.
Someone pointed out the other day how like Shovel Knight started a trend where there's like a million games with the word knight in it after Shovel Knight, like Hollow Knight and this knight and that.
Oh, that's
knight
funny.
And knight this and knight
really
that. And it's like,
that,
oh yeah, it's like at some point, really, it's time to get more creative with your naming. But
speaking of videos, they did the IGF Game Developer Awards 2020.
I'm really sad I missed this. I've watched like the last few years, a couple of them obviously in person, but like I didn't even know it was happening today, and then I woke up and it was not woke up, but I got on the internet and looked at it and it was over basically.
Yeah, same day that it always happens. They just kept the date. They just put it as a video online.
This is the award show that usually happens at GDC every year.
It's a double header. It's the Independent Games Festival and then the Game Developers Choice Awards, which is literal. Game developers actually vote on it.
Yeah.
Game of the Year, Goose Game.
No surprise.
Congrats, Audio Winner Control. Debut went to Disco Elysium, of course.
I still need to play that.
They're winning so much. Best Design.
Right,
fuck yeah, Baba Is You. Awesome. So well deserved. Innovation, Baba Is You. Mobile Game, What the Golf. Like, game developers are really good at their choices. Best Narrative, also Disco Elysium. Mm. Technology, Best Technology, Control. Visual Art, Control. VR, AR, Vader Immortal, and that's it. Pioneer went to Roberta Williams, Ambassador Kate Edwards, friend of the show.
Yes.
And Audience Award winners, Sky, Children of the Light. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
Which also was shown
for Switch.
Indies.
It's cool. Direct. I might actually play it now.
I'm very interested because they said that they're going to be changing it since it's not going to presumably be free to play for the console version. I think it's coming to consoles, but... but maybe coming to Switch first. Then the IGF grand prize winner, A Short Hike, which is something I've been meaning to play
so good
for a while. Yeah. And yeah, I remember you talking about it, Dermot. Excellent visual arts, Knights and Bikes, which seems deserved. What else? Any other?
Yeah, of all the award shows every year, these ones are by far, I feel like, the most like, you know, on target and also just... like reasonable, like they actually like can include all games in there.
Yeah.
You know,
they have good
choices.
Nominees.
It's obvious they play the games and know what they're talking about.
Good choices, even though we were nominated for like 5 awards last year and didn't win any of them. I did want to talk about we're not talking about the uh, the elephant in the room, so to speak, the tiny handheld elephant in the room, the PC Engine Mini. Are they actually, whoa!
Dude.
Oh my God, I almost just dropped it. That was not on purpose.
Put it down.
Do they actually call it the PC Engine Mini?
Yeah.
Okay.
PC Engine Mini, a TurboGrafx Mini, and then I think Europe got the Core Graphics Mini, which makes no sense, but I guess they just wanted to put a third version out.
So, well, yeah, and Europe had never.
Because I don't think the Core Graphics even came out in Europe. Yeah.
I did the TurboGrafx, and nothing came out there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it came out today, and it was delayed in the West, and there were concerns that it wasn't even going to show up. But if you pre-ordered early, I pre-ordered in like the first 30 minutes. Like you would get it today.
Because shipments have been affected by the
coronavirus. Yeah.
So first it's impressions very nice. That we're saying without having plugged it in and turning it on.
No, it showed up like an hour ago before.
Just the non-important part, right? Is that the funny thing about the PC Engine is, and this blew me away. After reading coverage of the TurboGrafx-16 for a year, and when I first saw the PC Engine, it was so fucking tiny.
Yeah.
So the actual
thing...
isn't
even that much smaller
than the
Mini
real thing. Is not that much smaller at all. Like, a Hue card was about the size of a credit card. And this is... I really want to see it compared to... I'm sure there's pictures on the internet of people doing it. It also, funnily, and I really want to know the story behind this, because I've never owned just a stock PC Engine. There's a exit bus cover... And it's like this weird color orange. This must have been something that happened in the original one, right? Because it covers the HDMI slot.
Excuse me.
And the power slot. So it's like, it's not like you're not going to take this off.
Right. I don't remember because I had a Duo. Turbo. I still do have my Duo.
This must be a nostalgia. It must be a nostalgia thing because it doesn't.
But yeah,
like-
as you can see, it's a little smaller, but it's not that much smaller. Like, yeah. I mean, obviously, I think the TurboGrafx is going to be the one that's most interesting because that one was kind of big in the West.
Controller feels pretty good, actually.
Controller's awesome. It's a little weird seeing Konami on the back of the controller. I mean, Konami now owns Hudson, who, you know, is responsible for this stuff. But
Hudson.
But yeah, I'm excited.
Controller length looks okay, actually.
It's long, yeah.
Even for a Japanese system.
It's very long,
The thing was like 12 inches.
I'm guessing they didn't want to make two different versions of it, and they know they needed to have it like that for the rest of the world. So.
Oh, okay. Well, remember fucking Nintendo did not get the fucking memo on that one.
Yeah, well, this
remember
was interesting
Famicom
because
was like,
it was super short, yeah. It was interesting because...
It's like the good old days.
Well, the Famicom also had tiny controllers here, which also was weird, but...
That's right.
It had to fit into the system, so they couldn't not do that.
I mean, they could have not done that, because...
Well...
Just don't do that.
Nah.
Choose function over form.
But the interesting thing about this system is, you know, they made all three versions available everywhere in the world. And
they're doing
it
weird.
Slightly different lineups, but they also have like a combination of English and Japanese games on each system, regardless of where you buy it.
So even the Japanese,
the West
box.
Gets Life Force Salamander, whereas the Japan gets Tokimemo Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
then they also announced just today there's hidden games on there. So there's a special version of Gradius, a special version of Fantasy Zone, and I forget the other one. There's something else on there too. And there may be more. They kind of hinted the tease that there may be other
That's
stuff
cool.
hidden away in there. So
it's weird, and we talked about it when it was first announced, but it's not like there's games and there's Japanese and English versions of those games. There's just like Japanese games and English games.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
And in the back of the Japanese box it says TurboGrafx-16 and here's those games. Sapphire is on here, which is like one of my holy grail shooters. That I wonder if it's overhyped because it was really rare and it got expensive. It's been expensive for a long time. It's one of those games I always wanted to play.
I don't think I played it.
It's a weird choice. Nobody played it. Hmm. It was like a very late game. I think it's a disc, a CD-ROM 2 game, horizontal shooter, right in my wheelhouse. And so that's the one thing I'm very curious about this thing. I mean, it looks interesting. Just in general, but I just had to not buy any of these minis. Otherwise, I'd have to buy them all.
There's some great games on here. I mean, they did put some CD games on there, which is nice. So you've got like Dracula X, which is one of the best Castlevania games of all time. You've got, I think, Eastbook 1 and 2. Snatcher is on there, but sadly, they never did an English version of Snatcher on the TurboGrafx, so it's only the Japanese version. Sega CD got a localized version.
Sega CD, yeah.
A good localization, too, apparently. But But still, yeah, I mean, it's. I'm trying to find a picture of the back of a real PC Engine, but I actually can't find one.
Yeah, I feel like even if you did, it's not... I mean, we need to find one, like, in the box, or, like, coming out of the box, because that... I want to believe that. If it's not, it's one of the weirder things about it, but...
I feel like this system should be, you know, for fans of retro games in general, probably has a little bit more appeal... Well, should have a little more appeal than the other ones that have come out because there's a lot of games on here that, most people in the West just never played. I mean, how many people even had a TurboGrafx, you know?
Right. No, totally, yeah. I'd traded with a friend. He gave me my Genesis for like a month and played his TurboGrafx and fucking just went nuts on R-Type.
There were
R-Type was amazing. R-Type
on Turbo was amazing. Good. We got the good one too. America got, you know, the full game. Japan, it's like split into two different cards. It's like part one and part two.
Yeah, which
But Japan got R-Type Complete CD, which had like these anime like cutscenes. Well, and it's like anime still cutscenes, but
Postage stamp size, like quote unquote FMV.
yeah
back when they would do that shit.
But PC Engine has been otherwise accessible in that, like, there's a ton of games on the Wii what was it called, the eShop back then, on the Wii
virtual
store
console.
The virtual console store, and then like also PSN, like on if you have like a PS3 or a PS Vita TV or whatever, you can play a lot of PC Engine games. But still,
do we want to go into the bunker corner and talk about the Netflix and things
sure
you guys are doing, like to entertain yourselves and stay sane in this insane situation?
Nothing has
changed. I started
changed.
Watching Little Fires Everywhere on Hulu last night, which is based on a book I read last year by Celeste Ng.
What's the deal with that?
It's set in 90s suburban America. Deals with class issues, race issues.
Where's it?
Stars.
Out of curiosity.
Shaker Heights. I don't know where that is exactly, but it's like
Do you have Japanese Hulu or?
No, I use a VPN.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It stars Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington.
Oh, okay. I heard about this. Yeah. Speaking of Reese Witherspoon, I tried to watch. Is anybody watching any of the Apple Plus anythings?
No. I didn't even do my year.
You didn't get your turn in your free
Is it
thing.
Too late? I can still do it, right?
I think you can still do it. Yeah. I bought an iPad, so I'll just check this out. I tried to watch that news.
Wait, you just bought an iPad?
I bought one and over the holidays.
Oh, okay. And now today yesterday they announced a new one. Like already.
I saw that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was like, well, I didn't even get like the top of the line thing, so I'm not too. Mm-hmm. It was like for the airplane and for my daughter soon, in the coming months. And I'm actually really enjoying having a nice one again. Mm. So there's that gaming show that we talked about. I think last.
Oh yeah,
or maybe the one before that had got some accolades, specifically certain episodes in it. That one about game development, like based on Ubisoft, with the guy from It's Always Sunny. The Newsroom show kind of bounced off it. Watched like one or two. The one that was like the most expensive TV show ever made, because it's got Steve Carell, Reese Witherspoon, and Jennifer Aniston.
I have not heard about that.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't realize Reese Witherspoon is like back on the scene.
She's back in the scene. I think she had some kids or something and had disappeared for a while.
I see. So you're liking that show, Dermot, though? Like, it's good? I mean,
it seems faithful to the book so far with some interesting changes.
I feel like right now with the way the world is, I don't want to, like, watch stuff about race issues and everything. Just because,
anything.
It's like my everyday. Serious, is
anything
with
too
all
serious?
That.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people have been asking for, like, what are some light, like, escapist fare?
Adventure Time. I've also been watching
Adventure
a lot
Time's
of that.
Adventure Time's always good.
Is that on Hulu?
I think it is, actually, yeah. I have the box set, so I just have it all, but...
Oh, nice. On Blu-ray or DVD or
on
what?
On Blu-ray.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my, wow. Okay, I'm doing the opposite, which is, like, Better Call Saul is not...
Oh, I need to catch up on that.
Escapist TV, but I am... I'm hooked on it. I still feel the way that I felt about it last time we talked about it. I wish maybe when Roy is back, I can talk about it in a little more detail. But I do definitely look forward to new episodes. And, yeah, like a listener said, like, if you liked... Baking Bad, you really
Baking Bad, the cooking
should
show.
Watch it. Yeah, Baking Bad,
baking poorly.
Baking Bread. Let's see, Westworld. We kind of talked about.
Yeah, I'm excited to get on to that. And I'm disappointed that Fargo is delayed now. Season 4. Fargo's amazing.
Fargo's still going on?
Yeah, season 4.
They're only on season 4?
Season 4 is about to start in April, but they didn't film the last two episodes, and then everything happened, and so they have to pause now, because otherwise they're gonna not be able to finish the whole season.
I got almost through the first season,
so good.
It was really good. Billy Bob Thornton was amazing.
Too.
Is it a different? Is it a totally different thing every season? Is it? One
I
of
think
those?
It's like
just
the same universe, but it's different time zone, different time, like different era,
it's like The Wire,
and different people,
which you still never watched because you're terrible.
I watched like the first episode like 7 times.
You're a terrible person. It's on Amazon Prime Japan. It has subtitles.
I have so much catching up to do. Actually, Noah finally got. My girlfriend is like wants to watch. Yusha no Yoshihiko. So like we're actually.
Nice.
I think we're gonna watch that,
dude. So, how long ago did I? Did I recommend that
to
you?
No, I know. And it's not. And I've watched the first episode, I think.
It's on Netflix still,
it
right?
It is on Netflix,
Japanese
yeah.
Netflix. I still haven't watched all of season 2 and 3, and I should. You guys are going to really like that show.
Yeah, I think so. We'll do that. And we're, you know, we still watch Drag Race, so that's, you know, the new season of Drag Race started a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you guys are super into that, huh?
We are, but honestly, I'm spending most of my time playing Final Fantasy 14 still. What free time I have, so...
You guys are back heavy.
We finished
into
the first
it.
Big expansion, Heaven's Ward, so now we're, like, in between that and, what's the next one? Storm Blood or something like that?
How many expansions do you have ahead of you?
There's 3 in total, so we're moving on to the second one. That's, like, most of my free time. I actually bought a keyboard for my PS4, like, a wireless keyboard.
It's a perfect, dude,
like,
getting, like, losing yourself in an MMO. If
great.
You're ever going to do it, now is the time. Like, that, Destiny, if this whole thing meant I ended up having a bunch more time at home, which it doesn't for me.
Yeah, I know. We're still super busy, but...
Yeah.
Which is good and bad. I mean, well, it's good, obviously, but I mean, it also, I mean, sometimes you just
it feels like it should be weird, because it is so different for lots of other people. And that goes back to what I said we were going to talk about this a little bit. We won't go too much into it, but, like, something is weird... Something's rotten in the state of Denmark, a.k.a. Japan, because, like, it's not adding up. Like, Japan had cases really early, and by and large haven't really done much of anything, except for the big step of that they did fairly early, of closing all the public schools, junior high, grade school, junior high school, at least. But, like, walking around Tokyo, you could... be fooled. There's a little less people because I think there's less tourists, but like
there
are trains
a lot less
are crowded
tourists, yeah.
There's events still happening,
you know. Tokyo
a lot of
though
jobs are still
has a
going
lot
normal
of people like compared to most cities, like
totally does, which
density,
is all the more
it's
reason
probably, what, number one or number two or something like that. It's got to be high up.
It's
there
it's up there. There's like India and Mexico City and stuff like that, but yeah, the greater Tokyo Yokohama area is one of the biggest most popular,
and we're right smack
densest
in the heart of it, so
exactly
we're not getting a great.
It doesn't
maybe
make sense, though, because all the more reason why shit should be more extreme than what's going on in America and parts of Europe and other places. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what's the – but there's not a lot of reporting going on about why that is. And there's not a lot of testing. And but at the same time, there's not people dying. And so there's like starting to be like – rumors and things like, oh, are they not reporting, you know, the deaths are not being attributed to it, and they
well given
aren't
how poorly this country handled the like post earthquake stuff and they the government like actively lying or trying to cover shit up and everything, like there's it's understandable why people would like jump on the conspiracy
well in the Olympics
bandwagon,
right?
That's
the Olympics
thing, for me
thing
is, the Olympics.
Is the overriding like thing where it still seems crazy that they haven't canceled the Olympics, even just the preparedness.
You know, the logic with all that, though, right, is like they're waiting for the IOC to cancel the Olympics so that the dime isn't – it's not on Japan's dime, which I understand. I mean, for something that massive, what they probably want to do is put it off till next year or something and like have the 2021 Olympics or whatever. And I think they – I think it's not that they're like actively being stupid about it. I think they're – they want someone else to make
the call
for them.
I mean, I've heard lots of different rumor stories, like so many businesses –
but that makes sense, right? I mean
it does if that's the actual case and like that's how their contract is fired. But I mean, Japan is screwed no matter what if the Olympics don't happen. That's like billions and billions of dollars that are just gone. Even if they have it again later,
but even if they happen, they're not going to get those. It's no longer billions and billions of dollars because tons of people are not going to travel regardless at all this year anywhere.
What I'm
you know,
that's
what, I mean?
What I just said.
No, but I mean, even if the Olympics go on,
that's what I said.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Oh, you mean even if it happens on time?
Yeah.
No, exactly. But you know, some of the other things are like, oh, so many businesses are going to go bankrupt the second that the Olympics are announced, that they're like slowly doing it so that the businesses go bankrupt slowly eventually. It's like, but all these things, it's like I you want the official, you want it to be whatever it is. Like it feels like after Fukushima, it feels like after 3/11 earthquake, and there are all these rumors and different things, and some of them sounded plausible and some of them didn't. You didn't know what to believe, and you didn't know, should I be like taking more preparation besides the fact that toilet paper is still in a lot of places, certainly by me, still that and tissues, you can't find them anywhere.
It's better than I've seen tissues a few times now. It's getting better. I mean, anecdotally too, like it seems like if you talk to various people around Japan, they're starting to find toilet paper again. But like,
and there's not lines like you saw that Costco line.
That was the longest line I've ever seen in my life. That was America, right?
Same,
yeah.
Completely bonkers nuts. So you're just like, well, what? are we missing, like,
you know, I you're
Japanese
right.
Japanese people bow. They don't hug. Like, Japanese people wear masks. Japanese people
are
all
generally
true.
Pretty clean, too. Like, this is a pretty clean place comparatively. Like, if you compare,
all
like...
All true, but, like, none of that seems to account for, like, the difference in if you believe the very, very low, flat, super flat recorded...
Yeah.
Official numbers.
Yeah, there's lots of good arguments for why those numbers are no good, too. But at the same time, like, I don't know... I personally have not heard of anyone I know, like having the virus or being sick from it or anything. Like, you know, you'd figure if it was really bad, you'd at least start hearing, oh,
but
so-and-so from here has it or so-and-so from there.
But
I
do have friends who have felt sick and then they went and tried to get tested
and
then
they
were not able
yeah.
to, even despite going to four clinics and like
right.
that kind of
That's
stuff,
supposed so. To be slowly getting better as of like, even like as we speak,
right.
like little by little, they're working to improve the
You're
situation.
You're supposed to
there.
Be able to go to like any clinic and get the test and get the results.
But they're
in like
encouraging people don't go unless you actually are showing
right.
symptoms because
of
you
course.
Want to keep it not clogged.
Of course.
But the other thing too is like I felt that so in the game industry here I pat our own back, but I feel like a lot of big companies in the game industry pretty early on were like, hey, work from home. Like big companies like, you know, Sega and Nintendo and so on. I don't know if they were public about it, but like they were doing it.
Right.
Epic was doing it. Like these companies that have pretty big presences here have been doing this for weeks. We've been doing it for like what, almost 4 weeks now? It's 3.5 weeks, I think. And like, you know, that's got to have
Some of them. And yeah, like companies in general, like big
Dentsu was
companies,
a massive company,
like,
did it because someone got sick with it at Dentsu.
But like, we don't know. Like, I would be surprised if like all of, say, Square did that or all of Nintendo did that.
Oh, no.
Or,
yeah.
You know.
But even if it's just some percentage, that's enough to kind of keep it down. I don't know.
But like,
I don't
the
know.
Trains are still full. Like, that is the thing. Like, it's so a lot of businesses are doing that. That's true. Like, we're all to different extents doing that. But, like, the trains are still crowded. So, like, it's not... Yeah. Like, it's kind of... Well, yeah. Anyway, we could talk about this forever. But something doesn't
There's no
add
way
up.
Of knowing.
There's some weird, like, mystery factor that is not being accounted for
My thing,
somehow, whether it's intentionally or not.
Yeah. I mean, it came here before it came to the States, right?
Sure.
And... Everywhere that it's touched, it has only grown. It seems almost impossible that it has somehow flatlined and that we're all fine. You know, like, without
Especially
really...
Especially in the densest populated
exactly.
thing where people are not taking the precautions that they say now you
yes.
have to do.
Yes.
Like, 6 feet social distancing or whatever, social distancing is not happening in this country.
It doesn't exist here.
It is not happening.
The
By
parks,
and large.
The parks really should be closed. Like, you should not, like, Yoyogi Park, which is where a lot of people go,
yes.
yeah. should not even be open. You
people
should not
should
be allowed
be getting
to go
on
there.
The, yeah, and the leaders should be on there saying whether it's made law or not. I mean, this is something happening in America right now, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're seeing, like, spring breakers, like, ah, fucking
I saw,
yeah,
I saw, oh, God.
And it's like,
I think I got to get off social media soon.
Man. It's
so
rough,
many
and you
idiots.
Do. You have to practice, like, restraint and freaking self-care and all that shit.
I've been talking to my parents every morning,
mm-hmm.
Just like checking in to see how they're doing because they live in Seattle. Where?
How old are they?
They're in their 60s.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
They're not like. I feel like what the at-risk population is 70 and up, but they're
most
close.
Yeah. I mean it yeah it spikes at
yeah.
like 70, especially 80, but yeah, I mean 60 is not nothing to
mm-hmm.
sneeze at.
Like, yeah,
it's gotten weird though for me because like
so to speak.
Like, yeah. it touched here first. We were 2 weeks ahead.
Right?
I was working at home for 2 weeks before, like, America really got concerned.
Right.
And now, you know, my parents are both working at home. Seattle is largely on lockdown. Businesses
yes.
are closing everywhere. They went up to visit my brother, who's going to school in Vancouver, BC, yesterday on St. Patrick's Day. And they were like, do you want to come home? Because this is probably your last chance.
Right.
And then they went back, and because he's got to finish class. He's got films to make. And now they close
now
the borders.
Borders are closed.
Yeah.
Man.
So I feel like we're doing now. I'm glad we talked about this. But at the same time, I feel like doing a bad job of the like escape from the internet.
Maybe, man.
The news
like,
now. But
I need
to
vent
talk
myself.
About it too. I know. No, it's good. I think it's positive. But let's cleanse that palate
yes.
with a, let's say, a happy gaming memory. Any happy gaming memory.
Anything. God.
Just like your one of your young formative years happy gaming memory. I will go first. At my spring break in college, so I had 1 week and I got Super Metroid right at the start of it. And so that entire week, basically, I might have told this story on the podcast already, but like completely like clock agnostic. It wasn't like, oh, it's morning, I should wake up, or it's night, I should go to sleep, or it's noon, I should eat, or whatever. It was just like, woo, fucking clock went out the window. And all I did that week was play Super Metroid, but it really felt like I was like living in Super Metroid, because, you know, I was just playing the shit out of it, wasn't sleeping. That's all I was doing, all I was thinking about. It really was like I was in, you know, quarantine, lockdown, voluntary, just like eating macaroni and cheese and drinking Coke and smoking and playing, smoking all kinds of things and playing shit out of Super Metroid for a week. And then I finished it at the end of that week, and it was like so bittersweet, because it was like, oh, fuck, I just want to like hit myself in the head with a hammer and forget it and do it all over again. But and then I at least had the like the time to go, and after that, like, use the X-ray and like find 100% of the secrets and like figure out some of the things. I mean, that was early days of the internet, so it was not easy to find even other people talking about things. But like the attract screen, I would just sit and watch the attract screen like while I was eating or whatever, because that game has an attract screen, and one of the attract screens shows her do the, I still don't even know how to do this to this day, but she like drops a whole bunch, like a super bomb, and then goes into, you see like her silhouette
in spark the fatal
position, and like gains health back. And I was like, what the fuck? And I don't think the game,
I love that they put that in,
ever
there
tells you how to do that. I think you just are supposed to see it there. I don't, I could be wrong, but I don't think the game even ever tells you that. I was just like, what the fuck? I was like, tried to do that, tried to go to that spot where it happens in the thing, and like, but yeah, that was such a pure, you know, being a college student and then also being on spring break, zero responsibilities. Like such a
I miss
awesome,
no responsibilities, amazing, and time to play games like that.
Time,
yeah. I mean, it's funny to me that Super Metroid was your spring break game in college, because like college was more recent for me, right?
Yeah,
but
a lot more recent for you.
Yes, my spring break game though that I remember most is Breath of the Wild.
Wait, is that fucking recent for you?
Yes.
Jesus,
it's only been like 2 or 3
Christ.
Years. Right?
Yeah. But that was my senior year, so like,
okay,
I was basically done with college already.
Jesus.
And that Breath of the Wild came out, and then I had
that
a week
is a perfect,
off. It was
a
amazing
spring break game.
It was one of the best weeks of my life.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, you make like the talk is kind of made me think of like games where I was sort of not quarantined, but like I was home for a stretch, because you're both talking about that. But the other day, I was I forget why. I started to feel a little weird, and I thought, oh, maybe I'm getting sick. But it turns out it was just hay fever again. But when I'm feeling super dry and like stuffy, I like to bust open a thing of Vicks Vapor Rub.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Love
and
the
just
rub.
Sniff it, basically. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And but it's weird how like smell will bring back specific
oh, it's
memories.
It's super powerful, especially if it's something you don't smell all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I later read or heard somewhere that maybe this is not something you should do, so don't try this at home. But my mom used to always put that in a pot and boil it. And then and it would like act as a like a humidifier,
yeah,
but a nice Vicks Vapor Rub smelling humidifier. And like when I was homesick, she used to do that when I was like in a sore throat or whatever.
Because what you're supposed to do with it, right, is
you're
supposed to
rub it on your
chest
or whatever,
and
too.
The fumes,
yeah.
But it is the fumes, and the fumes go up into your nose.
And it, I don't know if it actually is doing this, but it sure feels like it's being like literally absorbed into my chest when I breathe,
right.
And it feels really
good.
It's
like menthol. It's
basically
like a, for people who don't.
But that smell. Is like the other day, it was the first time in a long time that I had opened one
like
up.
Like Dragon Quest or
no,
something?
No, it was like, zoop, I am on my couch in my house in New York. Like, I remember sitting on the side of the couch, had a small TV on like the stand next to the couch, playing Kid Icarus. Like,
oh,
and, like,
wow.
Homesick,
yeah.
Like playing Kid Icarus. And like, just, it was so crisp and clear, and it was just weird. And like, I could smell it, you know, boiling in the other room in the kitchen while I'm playing that game. And like, that was just like a nice memory, because it was like,
That's awesome.
It's maybe I had forgotten that specific moment in time as a child, but I used to spend a lot of time on this couch with this like 13-inch TV on the sort of you know, next to my couch there was a, like a TV, not a TV stand, like a what would you call that, just like a table next to your couch, like you would have with a lamp on it or whatever. I would like move the lamp, put the TV there, and
right,
just play video games there.
Side table,
basically. Side table, yeah, whatever. But yeah, that I hadn't sniffed the Vicks in a while. And
smell
so, like,
is one of the most powerful like memory signifiers. In fact, like I read this thing, and it's actually really good advice to like if you're going on your honeymoon or like some trip that you know is going to be really like special and you want to remember, buy like a special like soap.
Yeah.
That when you shower, you smell that soap or a candle. Like, soap is the easy one to do, but like a body wash.
Soap. Yeah,
and only
too,
use it
man.
Then. And then like once a year or whatever you want, or when you're with your special someone or whatever, bust it out. Because the thing I noticed, and this wasn't even intentional, we stayed at a really nice hotel. Was that last E3? Two E3s ago? But mm-hmm. The Tetris Effect E3.
Okay.
And because we were actually invited some people up to the suite to talk about the game and play the game and stuff like that. We had to have one really close to the show, really nice. I think it was the Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Had this really nice body wash. And so, of course, every day I was like taking it, and they'd replace it, and I was taking it. So I ended up with like a week's worth, like five or six of these body wash things. Brought it back, and now whenever I go to the Cento, I have it because I really like it. But
E3, does it remind you of Tetris?
As much as I love it, no, and I love E3, and it's a overall like a good memory, but it's also like super stressful time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like it's just like wham, same way. It's just like, and this is a recent memory, but it's just like you are right fucking back there and remembering all the different things about like, okay, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to go to the show floor and be demoing the game, I have to be back here for that, go to that dinner, da 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 da. Like, it's definitely an action. It's one of the most fun times of the year. I'm really sick that we're gonna miss it this year, but yeah, totally took me back. So like, it's almost worth doing now when the Breath of the Wild sequel comes out.
That's right. Like, get a specific, like, you know,
yeah, we should sell
incense.
That. This is part of the Patreon.
Let's, game smells.
The Patreon, we will, like, branded Vicks Vapor Rub and be like, this is not Vicks Vapor Rub. We'll take out the label. We'll be like, this is magical video game memory juice.
Mark's Vapor Rub.
Boil this.
Dude, I remember on
Mark's
like,
video game nostalgia. Boil this when you play your future favorite game, when you play Cyberpunk, or you play Final Fantasy VII Remake, or you play fucking whatever.
They were talking about
time
on Retronauts, I think. Like, it was, maybe it was the episode with like the Limited Run guys, and they were talking about like selling the scent of like trading cards or whatever. Like,
what's the same smelling,
like,
the new Nintendo cart
the
smell,
new Nintendo,
right?
Smell,
that
yeah.
would we still have that memory, and yeah. that is because, yeah, every time you would open a cart or look at an instruction booklet, which you don't fucking do at all anymore
yeah.
now. Like,
it's funny you mentioned soap.
We should
because,
do that.
Because...
Write that down, somebody. That's
funny
Patreon, $10 a month Patreon level.
Well, yeah, you could do like game related soap too. But like, there was soap here that it's not anything fancy. It's like, you know, go to the convenience store because you just need soap, and they have
right.
like whatever generic brand.
Yeah.
But like, it totally brings me back to the KO Plaza, like, because it was
yes.
like whatever soap that they had in the KO Plaza,
exactly.
which is the hotel that we used to stay at.
Dude, the smell
we
of the KO Plaza,
year.
Which is basically like old cigarettes in old carpet. I
yeah.
think that is distinctly the smell, and like with a hint of like tatami mat,
right.
is like totally fucking takes me back to that era and those times, and
yeah.
those are like super happy memories. So.
Anyway,
yeah, maybe we can make a smell that you listen to, or that you smell when you listen to the A4 Play podcast, Dermot. And then that way, like, when you can't listen to the A4 Play podcast, you can at least have the smell and all those happy memories. But while you're doing that between podcasts, for now, what can you do to relive and share the excitement?
Well, you can find more episodes and all about us at our homepage, 8-4.jp. Or at our second home, giantbomb.com. Always got a thread in Resetera. You can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes. Or you can also tweet at us. Tell us what kind of smells you want to smell at 84play.
Yes. Give us... Actually, that's a great fucking idea. It's sad that nobody's going to listen to this late into the podcast, but I'm going to keep pounding this thing. Yes, send us your, like, gaming smell memories. Your, like, yes, your synesthesia experiences. And you can send them to...
At 84play, hashtag gaming smells.
There you go.
There you go. Gaming
or
smells.
If you want to CC people. Other
oh, yeah.
People
I'm at Dermalo.
I'm at Mark McD.
I am John TV.
And send good vibes to at Kotawari.
Yes,
who
right.
be with us
absolutely.
Today.
Yes. And thank you also, Dermot, for coming in and taking one for the team. Tomorrow's
oh, yeah,
a holiday here in Japan. And, you know, today even coming in is not the easiest thing in the world. So we're super appreciative of that. Thank you also to all the people who applied, we talked about last week.
Yes.
Looking
that's
for
right.
a podcast engineer. We have some really great candidates. We're slowly going through them and going to get back to people soon. So we're not going to ask again for more because we got some
yeah.
really great people. If you listened and you forgot to hit send on your email or whatever, go ahead. You can still send it. But, yeah, thank you again to everybody who all responded to that. Really cool.
We should have
outreach.
Asked for – it was great. And we should have asked people to send samples too, because the few people who did, that was actually really great. Like a really
yeah.
great way to see what people are capable of. So
that was cool. That
yeah,
was
super
cool.
Super appreciate it.
yeah, we should have asked for people's like Twitter accounts or something to give them shout outs, but you are recognized and appreciated. And all of you, please, of course, stay safe.
Stay home.
Heed the warnings. That's right. Stay home. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Dermot, stop touching your face.
I'm trying, man.
And it's wash really your hand. It is hard. It's super hard, especially when you're like dripping and dying of allergies, like I obviously am. You can probably hear it in my voice, even.
I've been really good about not touching my face, but when I'm outside walking around, like if I'm going to get food or going to the convenience store or something, I notice like,
yeah,
oh, I got something in my eye, and I'm like, shit, exactly. I can't do anything, and yes, I'm like blinking.
You notice
I'm,
how many
I'm practicing my like blink to get stuff out of my eye.
There thing. You go. Yeah, I just like tears are like a lot of times just streaming down my face, and I do it because I don't want to touch my eyes until I can get off. You realize how much weird shit you touch in a day.
I wash my hands though, like.
Yes.
Like a lot now. And I feel like I'm never going to not now again. Like yes, I've gotten so used to it now that I don't think I will ever not.
Never going
to
get a cold like ever, ever again.
Get some hand lotion too. You're going to crack your hands.
Some man lotion?
Man lotion, yeah. Hand. I need a man lotion, Mark. So on that note.
Man lotion.
We all got man lotion at home.
Hey, yeah. On that note, yes, stay safe and stick around. We'll be sticking around and appreciate you listening. Tell a friend if you enjoyed it, and be good to each other, take care of yourselves, and until 2 weeks from now, who wants to take us out?
That's a good question, Mark, when we're recording live with no editing.
Good question,
man,
Mark.
man, really didn't line this one up, did we?
How about some ASMR? Here we go.
Okay, yeah.
This is normal breathing, by the way. This is not like some Jason imitation.
I'm the one you can't hear breathe.
I'm a little wheezy.
Oh.
Don't do your own unique... Whoa! Sexy time, Dermot. Getting dirty. It's going to be M rated. T for teen. Woo! All right. Ending music. Where are you? Apparently this is something to do with Final Fantasy 14. John.
Probably a part that I haven't seen yet.
Dungeon theme sounded promising. No? Let's skip ahead. Hi there. That sounds suitable.
You sure it's not Final Fantasy 15? Must be a part that I'm not at yet.
What a fade.
Shave and Fun Ken doll has real hair. Beard disappears with warm water. Barbie doll, dog, and towel not included.